My guest at this time is Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. He's a freshman, but has been a major voice in trying to get the nation's fiscal woes under control. He became well-known earlier this year for proposing a version of a balanced budget amendment that got the support of a lot of the Tea Party members and millions of Americans around the country. Well, the balanced budget amendment idea was back before the U.S. Senate on Wednesday. Two different versions were up for consideration. Both of them failed to reach the two-thirds majority necessary to move it along to the states. And now he's here to tell us exactly what went wrong and what he hopes can still be achieved sometime soon. And, Senator, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg. It's great to be with you.
What exactly were the two different versions that you voted on today?
Well, there was the Hatch-Lee Amendment, and then there was the Udall Amendment. Hatch-Lee is the Republican. It had the support of all 47 Republicans, and the Udall Amendment had the support of 20 Democrats. You add those two votes together, and you have 67 votes, the two-thirds supermajority necessary to pass this out by the requisite majority and submitted to the state ratification. But we couldn't get all 67 votes behind either one amendment proposal. The Republican proposal was much better. The Hatch-Lee amendment would require a supermajority vote by Congress. Anytime Congress wants to spend more than it takes in, spend more than 80% of GDP, or raise the debt limit, or raise taxes. It's absolutely essential not only to preserve economic freedom in America, but also individual liberty, and even every federal program imaginable, from defense to entitlements, because our debt is going to crush every one of those programs. Our debt is ultimately going to catch up to us and impair permanently our ability to borrow.
You just mentioned a moment ago, Senator, that this proposal today, along with Senator Hatch, included one of the hallmarks of what you considered earlier this year to be an important part of a proposed balanced budget amendment, and that's capping spending at 18% of GDP. Talk about that a little bit more and why that's the critical level.
Yes. 18% of GDP, which represents roughly the 14-year average. Now, that's a ceiling, not a floor. But the reason we chose that percentage is because it represents roughly the 40 or 50-year average of what our tax system is able to produce as a percentage of GDP, regardless of how high our top marginal rates are. So prior to the Reagan administration, when top marginal rates were close to 90%, we still were producing roughly the same percentage of GDP. So if we hope to be able to balance our budget consistently ever, we need to limit our spending at the federal level to no more than 18%.
Senator, you mentioned that if you added the yes votes from the two different votes together, you'd get that 67 votes that you needed. Do you sense that there's common ground that could get you there? Would it be something along the lines of what the House considered earlier of just making sure that expenditures did not exceed revenues? Or does it need to be more detailed than that, as you outline in your amendment today?
Well, look, I'm an optimist, and I believe that something's possible. I believe that compromise is possible and the kind of compromise that could make a difference. I'm not comfortable with what the House voted on because the House version of the amendment, like the Udall amendment voted on in the Senate, had one very fatal, nasty flaw, which was that it would have allowed Congress, by a simple majority vote, to exempt itself out of the budget balancing requirement altogether. And we can't have that. That won't work. That, at a minimum, would have to go.
Senator, in terms of the no votes that we saw today, does this mean in your mind that a lot of people simply don't want to balance the budget, or they just have different ideas and those ideas weren't represented in these two proposals today?
I think it means that they're at least not willing to force Congress to balance its budget. And I think the 33 senators who voted for neither proposal will have done so at their own political peril. Look, the overwhelming majority of Americans, about 75%, according to CNN, support an amendment constitutionally restricting Congress's borrowing capacity. And as I explained in my recent book, The Freedom Agenda, that explains the need for a balanced budget amendment, this is an issue that is neither Republican nor Democratic. It's neither conservative nor liberal. It's simply American. It's who we are as Americans. We love liberty. We love economic prosperity. We can't have either as long as Congress continues to borrow to an unlimited degree.
Speaking of borrowing and spending, there's, of course, this Friday night deadline, the latest deadline about funding the government. We saw it with the continuing resolution. We saw it with the debt ceiling debate earlier this year. Where does that currently stand, and how optimistic are you that something will be done by then?
Well, something will be done by then. Something always is done by then. The question is what it will be. And I have yet to see what we'll be looking at. I suspect that what we could end up having is another very short-term continuing resolution funding the government either for an additional few days or for perhaps an additional month or two. Still trying to figure out where we can achieve common ground there. But at this point, I really don't know what's going to happen.
Another big standoff, of course, is over the payroll tax extension. The Republicans want to cut spending. The Democrats want to add to the tax rates for the wealthy. Both seem to want this current payroll tax rate to continue. Well, how do you see this playing out in the next couple of days?
Well, the House last night passed a package that would extend the payroll tax holiday and that would reform unentitlement benefits and would also require the approval of the Keystone Pipeline project with its estimated 20,000 shovel-ready jobs. I'm inclined to support that once it gets over to the Senate, and it should be reaching the Senate within the next 36 hours.
Do you expect that that will get passage? The president's promised to veto Harry Reid, I believe, used the words dead on arrival. So how optimistic are you that you can get some Democrats to cross over here?
I'm very optimistic because all members of the Senate, including my Democratic colleagues, many of them, understand and respect the fact that more than anything, Americans need jobs. I can't imagine that they would turn down an extension of the payroll tax holiday and an extension and reformation of the unemployment insurance program simply because they didn't want those 20,000 Americans to have access to those jobs. We desperately need that energy. We desperately need those jobs. There is absolutely no excuse for them to be saying that this is dead on arrival just because they don't want those Americans to get those jobs.
The president said this needs more time for evaluation, the Keystone Pipeline. The Democrats have in the Senate have basically said they don't want it attached to what they consider unrelated legislation. How do you respond to those two arguments?
That's shameless pandering to a very vocal and extreme minority consisting of an environmental extortionist.
Senator, we'll keep watching the rest of this week. Hopefully you won't be spending Christmas in town, but if you are, we'll be following it all the way through. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee joining us to talk about the balanced budget amendment and some of the other outstanding business for the U.S. Senate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.